Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, souls and demons, and welcome back. Today's show features two stories. The first story is written by Because I Said So Too, and it's titled Strange Blood. The author of this story has many books released, the most recent of which is titled Stories for Imaginary Friends. It has 50 stories pertaining to fantasy, horror, sci-fi, and several essays. He is a fantastic author, and I hope you support him. The link to the book will be in the description. Story number 2 is titled My Own Personal Hell, written by Root Project 9. The author also has a YouTube channel and plans on getting videos up soon, so please check them out. And with that, sit back, grip your seats, and enjoy the show. When I was in fourth grade, I stood by helplessly while a man died at my feet. It was sad and traumatic, and while it's not a memory I've suppressed, it's not one I dwell on. But I recently saw something that's making me re-examine the experience, and lately, I've been thinking about it more and more. I was walking to school when it happened. It was an overcast morning and raining slightly. I was carrying an umbrella and half-heartedly trudging along. A man in a tan jacket and gray slacks was walking behind me. I was aware of him, and wary of him, because when I'd walked past him, he'd been scowling, his eyes angry and defensive, and moments earlier, I'd heard him rudely tell another pedestrian to get out of his way. Suddenly, I heard him grunt with pain and collapse. I turned around to see what was happening. He'd fallen and landed with a meaty thump, hard and face first. I instantly understood that something was wrong. I tentatively walked back towards him. "Sir, are you okay?" I asked, but the man didn't or couldn't respond. He was lying on the ground in obvious pain, grunting, and the side of his face was pressed hard against the sidewalk. Knowing I needed to get help, I knocked on doors in the vicinity. Eventually, someone answered. It was a middle-aged lady in a house robe, her legs bare beneath it, and her blonde hair simultaneously flat and tangled. She opened her interior door and, clutching her robe closed tightly in the front, peered suspiciously through the screen. "Call an ambulance. That man's hurt," I yelled, gesturing over my shoulder to where the man, possibly one of her neighbors, lay on the sidewalk like a pile of dirty laundry. The lady said she would, and firmly shut the door in my face. I ran back to the man. It had been sprinkling all morning. That's why I had been carrying an umbrella, and I still had it in my hand. I noticed how the raindrops created darker spots on the man's tan coat and gray pants. Not sure what else to do, I held my umbrella over him to protect him from getting any wetter. I waited with the man, like a little angel holding an umbrella instead of a scythe. Beneath the umbrella's circle of protection, and through the raindrops collecting on the lenses of my glasses, I noticed the man's color changing. I saw the hairs in his exposed ear, the broken blood vessels on his nose, his wrinkled profile, and how his face was clenched with terrible pain. Then his nose started to bleed trails of black blood. First they were as thin as threads, then as thick as yarn. The tangled mass of them seemed connected, and they spread out from both nostrils like glistening black tentacles. I watched dully as the strings moved out across the pavement, as though searching for something. One exploratory tip touched the tip of my shoe, then flowed up, over and across it, while others forked around my feet. Then, as if caught in the gentle tide of the rainwater, the tangled black strands were swept away, seeming to move with the rainwater over the curb and into a nearby gutter. Overwhelmed by the experience, perhaps in shock, my eyes followed their movement until the rain collecting in my glasses reduced everything to a watery gray blur. Eventually, it stopped raining, and the police and ambulance arrived. As the adults gathered around the body, I stepped back against one of the buildings along the sidewalk. The ambulance drivers put the man on a stretcher, pulled a sheet over his face, and loaded his body into the ambulance. A police officer, loud and confident, asked if anyone had seen what had happened. I hesitantly stepped forward and told him that the man had collapsed, and I held my umbrella over him until the ambulance got here. The officer, his voice softer now, took down my name and number and told me to go along to school. I couldn't look him in the eyes. I was shy around adults. Instead, I stared at the pavement. I noticed there were no bloodstains. That was 3 decades ago. Recently, browsing online, I stumbled across a video. It showed a horsehair parasite leaving the body of a praying mantis. I watched. Initially curious, then morbidly fascinated, as the black strands started exiting the mantis's body. They looked like vines, or narrow, searching fingers spread out and grasping at the air as though searching for something. It looked terribly familiar. Watching the video, I felt an instant recognition and a sense of mounting dread. As a child, I had assumed that what was coming out of the man's nose was blood. Strange, strange blood, but blood nevertheless. The whole experience was so shocking, unexpected, and disturbing that part of it was just one more surreal detail. Since then, though, I've cut myself on accident. I've given blood a few times, and I've seen other people bleed. The blood is red, and while it may drip, run, splatter, it isn't black. And it doesn't flow in thick threads that don't leave stains behind. I've read that horsehair parasites can't infect people, livestock, pets, or birds. But I saw something I can't forget or explain away. What I saw coming out of his nose looked like the horsehair parasite, but it was much, much larger. And its movement seemed purposeful. I don't think it was flowing into the gutter. I think it was escaping, reproducing, and spreading. I picture the man's scowling face, his belligerence, the way he swaggered down the street and shouted angrily at anybody that walked past him. His expression looked so much like the angry faces I seem to see everywhere now. I think about the growing lack of civility, the barely controlled anger that seems to be bubbling just under the surface in our society. I think about how more and more that rage seems to be flowing out, growing, and spreading like a tangle of glistening black threads, reaching out for all of us. I had a strange sensation on my wrist. I was dreaming for sure. In the dream, I was sitting in a chair. The chair sprouted vines whenever I tried to get up, and the vines wrapped around me, pulling me into the chair tighter and tighter until I could barely breathe. I felt restricted, and I felt tears coming to my eyes. This nightmare was terrifying. So I did what any normal person does in a situation like that, and I willed myself to wake up. I woke up with the tears fresh in my eyes, and I looked around, but this couldn't be real. The walls were gray and made of stone. I was in some strange kind of cell. I was strapped to a chair. I had leather straps binding me to the chair, straps around my body, and a cap on my head holding me to the chair. Now I understood the dream. I was in an electric chair. I had no idea how I ended up here. Maybe it was amnesia or something, because I had no recollection of the previous events leading up to me being in this very chair. I sobbed and held my head down. I didn't want to die like this. The thought of being shocked alive, while my skin burned to a crisp with jolts running through my body, it terrified me. My life was about to end because of my fear of lightning. Help! I shouldn't be here. Somebody, please! I yelled in agony, hoping someone would hear me. Thud, thud, thud. The strangest thing about all of this wasn't the fact that I was strapped to this chair with no memory. It was that the cell had no door, just walls with no openings. I swallowed out of fear and croaked, "Hello?" No answer. 5 minutes passed with sweat slowly forming at the top of my forehead and dripping down the end of my chin before the footsteps receded into the distance. Thud, thud, thud. I closed my eyes and drifted back off to sleep. I awoke moments later when my hair rose on my neck. I felt like something was breathing on me. I didn't know how it had entered the room. I was slowly spun around by whatever was breathing droplets on my neck to see the side of a ghastly white face. It had no eyes, no ears, and no nose. It had just a mouth, with flabs of skin stretching to the top and bottom of its mouth, as if it had putty for a mouth, and a toddler had stretched its mouth open. It let out a grisly stench as it spoke. "Your time has come. It is time to pay for your time on Earth." It held up a mirror, and I gasped at the sight. This couldn't be me. This had to be a mistake. I looked nothing like that. Staring back at me was an old, decrepit man who clearly had reached the end of the road. I had no memories, but I sure as hell didn't feel like I was old. This has to be a mistake. That isn't me. The creature roared, "Shut up. I am growing tired of you. What you see is you. You have committed horrible acts on Earth. We wipe everyone's mind on entry. Here, you will be shown your life on loop and shocked for eternity by this electric chair. You will feel like you're going to die, so close to the brink of death, but you will never, ever, ever die here. This is your own personal hell." With that, the creature wheeled me to the center of the room and shut off the lights. The creature clipped out of existence, as if it was never there. I sat there, wide-eyed, and then sobbed.